In the summer of 1940, the Germans dominated the European continent and Britain stood alone. Shortly after the fall of France, Adolf Hitler ordered his Luftwaffe to gain control of the air over the English Channel just long enough to cover an invasion, and he launched the Battle of Britain. As Spitfires dueled Messerschmitts, Prime Minister Winston Churchill delivered his famous tribute to the pilots of the Royal Air Force. "Never in the field of human conflict," he said, "have so many owed so much to so few." Of course, the majority of those pilots were British, but there were substantial numbers of Poles, Canadians, Frenchmen, and other nationalities as well, and a handful of Americans. Seven U.S. flyers ignored the Neutrality Act to fight for Britain more than a year before Pearl Harbor. Each had reasons of his own, including adventure, the chance to fly some of the hottest planes in the world, and politics. They gave up their families, their nationalities, their careers, and all but one would give up his life. Their story is told in a new book by Alex Kershaw called The Few, The American Knights of the Air Who Risked Everything to Fight in the Battle of Britain. The author joins us now from the studios of Vermont Public Radio in Montpelier, and it's nice to have you on Talk of the Nation. Thanks for coming in.
It's great to be with you.
Who were these seven kids?
They were a remarkable bunch of Americans. One, Billy Fisk, was the youngest ever gold medal winner at the Winter Olympics. He actually won, at age 16, a gold medal in the bobsled. Won again in 1932, his second gold medal, actually carried the stars and stripes at the opening ceremonies of the 1932 Lake Placid Winter Olympics. A couple of others were just as obsessed with flying. One was called Vernon Keough, the youngest pilot, the shortest pilot ever to fly in the RAF. He was just 4'10" when he was... called to a scramble, he would actually grab two cushions, one to sit on and one to prop him up behind his back. They were a remarkable bunch, and I think what they all had in common was that they loved flying, but they also were convinced that America was going to join the Second World War, that a draft was inevitable, and they wanted to do their part as fighter pilots rather than as infantrymen in a foxhole.
It was not easy for them to make this transition. They were all civilian pilots in life in the United States, and they got recruited by somebody to go over and originally fight for France.
Yes, three of the characters I write about, three of the Magnificent Seven, I should say that I always saw this story as a kind of Western, these cowboys, these outlaws going over to England and flying as the kind of, you know, the white hats against the black hats of the Luftwaffe. It was very difficult for them to even get to England in the first place. Some of them volunteered to fly it with the Finns. Unfortunately, the Finns were defeated in the winter of 1940. And then they volunteered to fly for the French. Again, unfortunately, the French fell before they could do their part in the French Army de l'Air. And so they ended up, three of them, managing to get to England just in time for the Battle of Britain. And they got their wish. They went from, they arrived in July of 1940, and 3 weeks later found themselves being chased by very experienced German aces, literally fighting for their lives.
And the lives, as you read some of the letters they wrote, they may have gotten into this for a lot of different reasons, some of them political, but all of them seem to have come to the realization that they were at a remarkable moment in history.
Absolutely. The most visionary of these seven pilots, they were all adventurers, risk-takers, wild and crazy guys. You'd have to be wild and crazy to break your own country's laws, risk imprisonment, and lose your citizenship to go and fight in a war that your government had done everything to prevent you from joining. But they were, one of them in particular was very idealistic, a guy called Art Donohue, and he came from St. Charles, Minnesota, a farm boy, who wrote to his parents that he was going to go and fight in the Battle of Britain because he wanted to beat Hitler in Hitler's backyard rather than have to confront him in his own backyard. A very visionary young man who, 18 months before Pearl Harbor, was dueling with the Luftwaffe aces above England while, as Churchill said, his own country slept.
We're talking with Alex Kershaw. His new book is The Few, The American Knights of the Air Who Risked Everything to Fight in the Battle of Britain. We've posted several of the photographs from the book at our website. That's the Talk of the Nation page at npr.org. And you're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. Alex Kershaw, we come away from, I guess, mid- and post-war propaganda between the Eagle Squadron and a Yank in the RAF to think that every other pilot in the Battle of Britain was American.
Yes, I mean, what's interesting is that by the end of September 1940, which was still the height of the Battle of Britain, so many young American flyers had been inspired by the heroics of these men in blue that they'd come over to England in such numbers that the RAF decided to form a squadron entirely comprised of young Americans, and that was number 71 Squadron, otherwise known as the Eagle Squadron. And these young gentlemen had eagle patches sewn onto their dark blue uniforms. They went operational in January of 1941, after the Battle of Britain had been won. And they were such a wild, extraordinary bunch, ex-bank robbers, kids that had very unsettled backgrounds, that the RAF actually considered disbanding the Eagle Squadron. They were a bunch of renegades, as one RAF squadron leader said. But in fact, that decision wasn't made. And by November of 1941, only 10 months later, a month before Pearl Harbor, 71 Eagle Squadron was the highest scoring squadron in the RAF. So these wild young cowboys from America actually ended up proving their worth. They were a remarkably lethal bunch in the air.
Let me ask you a little bit more about Billy Fisk, the athlete, as you mentioned, the youngest gold medal winner ever, the bobsled racer. An attractive young man, clearly come from a wealthy family, very accomplished, not certainly unknown in the United States, and the British were certainly eager to use him for propaganda purposes.
Absolutely. I should say that perhaps the most effective propaganda campaign ever waged by the British took place during 1940, and it was aimed at convincing Americans that Britain was worth supporting. Here was a young, dashing American, a two-time gold medal winner, nicknamed the King of Speed on a celebratory cigarette card. Here was this young man proving that that America was not neutral, that in fact America's youngest and best, some of them, were already fighting and risking their lives for freedom in England. And the British government decided to use him even before he joined his squadron. During the summer of 1940, he was asked by the actual air minister, no less, to go to America and whip up support for the British on a propaganda tour. And he actually turned around to the air minister, this young, untested fighter pilot, and said, "No, I won't do that. When I've shot down some Germans, then I'll go back to America and gain you the support that you need." He was seen as a very important propaganda tool, as in fact were the Eagles later on that year of 1940.
And of course, Billy Fisk did not, he did get his share, but he was killed himself before that moment came around. Just one of those original seven survived the war.
Yes, actually, two of the seven were killed during the Battle of Britain, Billy Fisk and another guy called Hugh Riley. Hugh Riley, it was only discovered that Hugh Riley was in fact an American when someone went through his belongings in his quarters after the news had been received that he'd been killed by one of the great German aces, Werner Mulders. And it was a passport was found. It was a fake Canadian passport. Everybody had assumed in his squadron that he was Canadian. In fact, he was American. But to circumvent neutrality laws, he had pretended all that summer to be a Canadian. So two were killed during the Battle of Britain. Two Americans died during the Battle of Britain. But what was wonderful for me as a writer was that the other five, during their short lives, were aware, in fact very proud of their achievement. They had helped save Britain in its darkest hour, and they had been the few among the few who had, as Churchill said, saved civilization. They were very much aware of what they had achieved and were very proud of that. So in that sense, the narrative has a kind of euphoric ending, although ultimately only one of those guys came back to America.
Alex Kershaw tells all their stories in The Few, the American Knights of the Air who risked everything to fight in the Battle of Britain. He was kind enough to join us today from the studios of Vermont Public Radio in Montpelier. Thanks very much, Alex. Good luck with the book.
Thank you very much.
I'm Neil Conan. This is Talk of the Nation coming to you from NPR News in Washington.